So we start these out the same way because you're going to be brilliant and I'm going to be positively boring. So when you introduce yourselves, please, and we'll start here.
I'm Lauren.
Hi, I'm Martin.
And I'm Ian.
And you're in a band called?
We are in a band called Churches.
Oh, and let's spend hours about why you use the V instead. No, let's not. Let's spend.
You said you
can
wouldn't.
We? Talk yeah, about. Nah, but I lie. So I want you to each tell me something about this band that nobody knows yet. And by the way, you each have the ability to lie profusely.
Generally speaking, I don't really know that I want to tell people a huge amount of things about anything. So I think that's why we're bad at interviews, because I'm like, I don't really want to talk about it. It seems self-absorbed. So I don't know.
I'd like to talk about my rap career.
Okay. Oh, your rap. Okay. Now we're there.
The rap career is what's going to happen after this band.
Yo-yo Churches.
Well, something along those lines.
Right.
I've got a habit of getting drunk and trying to rap battle people. It happens a lot. Okay. And I sometimes win.
Can I ask you a question? When he gets drunk and he raps, do you A, sit there and laugh, B, just send him to the local karaoke bar, or C, leave the room?
I'm not a terribly great rapper by any stretch of the imagination, so I don't get involved in it, really.
You
just try and be supportive.
You have rapped on stage.
But you put up with his rapping when he's drunk.
I think he's pretty good at it, all things considered. So, you know, it's nice to be supportive as well. So, yeah, I don't want to crush any dreams. We'll see what happens.
So we know that two of you went to university, to uni together. We know that there's a lawyer journalist in the band. We know there were a million bands before this one. What's more interesting is that you do apply all of that and that you were making music the whole time way before, right? So everybody's kind of like, well, first you went to grad school and you did this and then you made music. But let's clear this up. You were making music all along, right?
Yeah, I don't think it was ever really an either or kind of thing. It's just I was a bit of a dork at school, so I did reasonably well and managed to get into a good university. So it just kind of seemed logical to me to kind of get a degree and get a job. And also I didn't ever think that I would get to do music as a living. So it was just something that I enjoyed doing in my free time. And if I could have a job to pay for my life whilst making music, then that's what you would do, I think.
But now if all else fails, if this suddenly just goes down the dumper, right? This just all goes bye-bye. You're going to dump these guys and just, you know, become an entertainment lawyer and make some real money?
I know. I don't think I will ever do the law thing, not least because I never did my legal diploma. But I think I would probably just go back to trying to do media work, really. Towards the end, I was doing like freelance stuff for magazines, but also like production assistant things. So I think it would probably be something in the kind of audio visual. No, but I think like something in like documentaries or radio or something would be interesting.
So you guys didn't go with Columbia. You went with Daniel Glass. But Glass, note, he, all kidding aside, he found his way to the UK because he heard about you and he came to see you. And he picks his bands really carefully. So when he showed up, did he approach you and say, don't go with Columbia, go with Glassnote?
You know, Daniel blew us away when he came to, when everyone was talking and, you know, we were trying to make a decision about what label. Daniel came to London, like, with his family, like, and came to one of the first shows that we ever did. And we got a real sense of the guy. We knew all about his roster. I mean, that was... Yeah, it speaks for itself. But and the kind of sort of family spirit that there is at that label and that. And when we went to New York for the first time and we met everyone, it was more of the same. Like, everyone from the interns that worked there to every member of staff went way above and beyond what is necessary, like, for being in business with a band. And it was, we felt immediately like that we'd made the correct decision, that our instincts were right.
And we were very much driven by our instincts and by our impressions of the actual people, rather than the contracts and numbers and all of that shite.
We're sitting here, and this is a nice room, and you're headlining, and it's sold out, and this is a decent sized venue. So when you wake up in the morning, do you think, wow, this is an interesting world we live in these days, that we can kind of put out a, you know, a single, put out an EP, and then we put a song out there, one song, and suddenly that song just really takes off, which is what happened here.
Right? Yeah, our song, The Mother We Share, is doing really well at radio here, and that is a big part of why this works. And kind of going back to Glassnote, I think that's one of their main strengths, is they're just amazing at radio, and they do so well with that. And like, I try not to think too much about, you know, the whole trajectory, although I have been trying more to try to enjoy this as it happens, because and anyone can be guilty of thinking too much about the next step, the next thing, the next thing, the next thing. And I think today was the first time that we got into town and I went into this room and I kind of had a wee moment to myself, like, yeah, we have come a long way in a really short time, and it felt really good.
But now we're here, and this is the United States, and this is a whole different ball game. Sure. You could be massive over there. You could be in Germany, and you could be in Japan, and then you come here. But again, this is pretty cool. So do you think about that when you go on stage and say, you know, this is not home. This is the U.S. This is the big, bad U.S.
Yeah, I guess it's really quite strange to go places that are so far from home and have people be aware of your music. I think that's quite bizarre, and I don't know if you ever really get used to that and get blasé about it. I'm not sure. And I've never really toured outside Europe with any bands, so it's really cool to kind of come this far and see what it's like.
Okay, let's kill this one fast. Let's kill the genres thing. Let's get rid of this. I mean, are you okay with every single article saying they're an 80s synth band influenced by all the great 80s synth band? Why didn't they name themselves Church's League? You know, it's great in interviews say, well, yeah, we love all these bands, but that's not really where this band came from in its heart and soul, right?
Yeah, it's not. You're absolutely right. Yeah. I mean, there's elements certainly in the kind of the technology that we use, and we deliberately use a lot of synthesizers,
yeah,
from that era.
And all
yeah,
that,
yeah.
Course,
but the, I feel like when we're making music, we're thinking about it in a very modern way. A lot of the time, like a lot of the rhythm that we use is grounded in R&B music or rap music, and a lot of the vocal lines that we do are geared towards that. And when we do use those synths, those 80s synths, we're processing them in the most modern way possible in terms of use of technology, modern recording equipment. So it's weird, the nostalgic thing, the 80s thing is for sure an element of what we do, but it's not. I would hate for us to be remembered. Well, I would like for us to be remembered, but I would hate for us to be remembered and considered a retro band.
Our primary focus isn't necessarily all the bells and whistles and the genre considerations as much as it's about actual songwriting. It's like that's at the forefront of what we're doing, and I think that's something that without, you know, I'm not going to be the one to say whether it's timeless or not, but I mean that's something that great songwriting is it doesn't matter how you dress it up, a good song is a good song, and that's kind of how we feel, I think.
Lyrics count, even in a world where folks supposedly don't listen. So if lyrics don't count, how do people sing along then? Because they do.
I guess I find it strange when people say that to us, like if people bring up they're not pop song lyrics in inverted commas, but then I'm like, that kind of depends on what your definition of pop is and what you think a chart pop song is. And I don't really think that you should... Like, we never sat down and thought, cool, let's be a pop band. We just sat down and started writing. So it was kind of like people defined what it sounded like afterwards. And I think that was good because it meant that we didn't change the way we were writing in order to kind of try and appeal to people. And I think if people want, like, rhyming couplets or something, then they're not going to get that here necessarily. But
they're going to get melodies that are hooky that go with the non-rhyming couplets.
Well, I think, like, that's kind of what, going back to what Ian was saying, like, for us, like, the song and the melody is a really important thing, and I guess for us, like, lyrics have to mean something to us at the time in order to, like, write them and perform them. But if they can mean something different to the people that are listening to the music, then I think that's a very powerful thing, because that's probably what I take away from bands whose lyrics I enjoy.
So when you walk out and you're you, and I'm gonna paraphrase something you say, which is that you're not the natural lead singer for a band, right? You're not coming out there going, okay, here we go, I'll rock. You just take a deep breath. What do you do?
I guess in my mind, well, no, like I think there's things about this band that make me a lot more nervous and a lot more uncomfortable than those kind of things. Like in my mind, I was like, we're just gonna have to, you know, we'll just play the show as we would play the show anyway. And yeah, there's certain things that you have to try and adapt if it's physically a bigger venue, but I guess, you know, we can only do our best and see what happens. But I think it would be quite strange if I suddenly started asking everyone how they were doing tonight and
hey, how you doing? Yeah. We're churches! Rock!
Putting my feet up on the monitors and doing like knee slides, I don't think that would work. Mainly because we don't have monitors on stage.
Yeah, but just one night, if you did that just one night, just to freak people out, you could get a million YouTube views.
Maybe like the last ever churches show. Maybe that's what I'll do. Like the last ever one, I'll just kind of do my best.
Yep. Lauren Mabry off the rails. That would be what everyone was trying to do.
Front page of the, yeah, exactly. I can see it now. Remixes.
Yes.
It doesn't get better for this music, and you've gone out of your way to include the remixes. You know, you're not messing around like, oh, we're going to give you a B-side and we're going to spend years. You're giving it right away, and it's perfect for what you're doing. And you're really kind of curating, it's an uppity word, but you're kind of curating those remixes, are you not?
That's a really nice thing for you to say, because we it's something that we pay a lot of attention to.
No, I know.
Like, yeah, and we take it really seriously.
You don't do the typical, oh, it's going to start out like, boom, 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 boom. These are remixes from a time when people actually paid attention, not just we're going to hire remixer A and have them do the filtered version of, boom, boom, boom.
Right,
and then the one that goes boom, 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 right. you think about it.
It's huge for us.
It's possible, right?
And
you know all those remixes I was just imitating too.
For sure. Well,
it's the one. It's the filter one. It's like starts. And they take the filter off. It's like, ew.
It's not terribly innovative, I don't think. But I think it's really cool for us to be able to work with people that we think are interesting, like and. It's interesting to see what people make out of what you've made, because they can just make something completely different that you would never have thought to do. And I think that's really interesting if people are inspired in any way by what you've done. And I guess it's the same when we remix other people's things. It's just like, it's just kind of turning the creative process on its head, kind of.
Well, yeah, it's a product of the time. Like now the whole remix culture and remixes are getting bigger and bigger and bigger. But and we could be the band that throws, you know, 15K at the biggest guy if we were crazy and stupid, but we consider it to be relevant, like to go and find the electronic producers that we're most excited about, because we are music fans as much as anything else, and it's the guy that or the girl that we're most excited about listening to, and we get the chance to even go and talk to that person or drop them an email and find out if they're interested in doing that.
So you got to that moment where you just said, okay, and this is where being a journalist is really, really, really helpful. And see, I said it at the beginning, we weren't going to talk about it, but this is where you being you and being smart and having the education gave you an opportunity to reach back and turn around and say, no, 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 guys, you know. And admittedly, we live in a world of, you know, people going on award shows and doing, you know, unfortunately, 72.9%, that's not an actual number, of the female lead singers encourage what you've now been talking about. But more importantly, what can we all do in this, you know, in who we are to kind of get the word out that it's not about a guy or about a girl or about, you know, it's not really, you know, about that. It's about respect overall.
Yeah, I guess it's... I suppose for us on a day-to-day basis, we don't really think about like the gender aspect of it. And I think when we were starting to do this, we were just writing together. Everyone was on the same plane. So I think it's just, I guess it must be a societal thing, like external people looking at it from outside, just to presume certain things because what it's assumed that your role will be because you're the girl in the band or you're the guy in the band. So I guess for us, we're just kind of like just trying to continue what we're doing and not changing it to abide by what other people think we should be doing. And I guess that's a positive thing. And I think it was helpful for me, like when I was growing up and playing in bands and things, there was never, the people I was playing with and learning with never said there was things I should or shouldn't do. So when I have encountered those things, I always thought that was really bizarre, because I was like, but I can do this, I am doing this, so why does it seem so outlandish? So I guess that would be the thing I would say, it's just like learn by doing and don't change what you're doing in order to appease other people.
I've invented a thing called a musical sandwich, and it's two of your songs as the bread and then songs by anybody else you want to play in between.